Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live today from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM from Bellevue, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area and the fastest growing metaphysical and spiritual radio program in the world with over 160,000 listeners in over 70 countries. We have two amazing guests on today. During the first hour, I'll be interviewing a fantastic psychic named Lori Spanga. During the second hour, I'll be interviewing Dr. Jerome Corsi, the New York Times author and of the number one bestseller, Killing of the Deep State. Both interviews should be really out of this world, and I hope you can listen. Before we start, I, of course, like to thank everyone's support so much for this radio program, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner, of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com. I really appreciate your help and support, because I know together we can create a much better and happier world. I also want to tell everyone I have a television program called Out of This World TV, which broadcasts three times a week on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays on Channel 22 in the Seattle Olympia area. It's also available on YouTube under either my name, Ted Marr, or Out of This World. There's now over 50 or 55 episodes available on YouTube. And I want to thank everyone so much around the world who supported the show, including the wonderful Crystal Spirit Spiritual Center in Nakoma, Tom Palladino, the famous scalar energy healer from Florida. If you'd like to try Tom's free 15-day trial of his scalar energy healing program, please go to www.selfhealgo.com. We're also looking for sponsors and advertisers for the show, and any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services. I also would like to thank my dear friend Carol's designing my website, providing wonderful support, my friends in the Galactic Alliance who've been supporting my show, my angelic and earthly family, and of course KKNW, my producer Eric, who's without whose help and support this program would not be possible. Also, Carol lost her father a few months ago, and I'd like to ask everyone listening today to please send her lots of love and light, and to her mom, Marge, her mom, and her family, to help them with the deal with the loss of their beautiful father. Also, Michiko Hayashi's mother, Misako, in Japan, had a stroke last year, and would appreciate it if you could please send her lots of love and light, too. I know it really helps. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I also teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. And if you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who have passed on, or to contact your angelic guides and get some good spiritual advice, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. You can also call me in the United States at 509-750-9793, or toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339. Also, if you missed my Galactic Conference Wisdom Conference last month, you can order the audios and some videos of the conference for just $97. If you're interested, just please send me an email. My next Galactic Wisdom Conference will be held at the same location in Olympia, Washington at 9101 Stillicum Road, Southeast, from April 12th through the 16th, 2019. And for more information, please see our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. It hasn't been updated completely with the new speakers, but I have invited Lori Spanga to my conference next year. I'll be interviewing her in just a few minutes. And I'll know you'll find her. She's an incredible lady, a wonderful psychic. Also, this summer, in a couple of months, from July 2nd to the 8th and September 6th to the 11th, 2018, I'll be taking a small group of people to Mount Shasta, Telos, and the Hollow Earth. I've been sponsoring trips to Mount Shasta and Telos and the Hollow Earth for several years, and this is a wonderful opportunity to visit Telos and the Hollow Earth if you'd like to come. Back in 2016, a group of Koreans, I think there were five or six people, physically actually went into Telos and took a shuttle to Shambhala, the ancient mythical city in the Hollow Earth, and then they came out. They had an amazing story to tell. And if you're interested in that interview, please go to my website at www.outofthisworld1150.com and click on September 2016, and you'll see their interview there. The cost for a week's worth of visits to Mount Shasta and the Hollow Earth is just $200, and includes free dry camping as well. I've already reserved the campsite, and the campsite is actually literally within a couple hundred yards of several entrances to the Hollow Earth. I should tell you, though, that the spiritual protocols that you should follow before coming down, including not eating any meat for at least 3 or 4 weeks before you come. There's other spiritual protocols to follow, and if you are interested in coming, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. We always see lots of Sasquatch and UFOs flying around Mount Shasta. It's an amazing and beautiful place, and we always have an incredible time there. Finally, my good friend Simon Parks will be coming on as a regular guest to Out of This World Radio to give his views on the world. The new series will be called Simon's Corner. The broadcast schedule has not been worked out yet, but I will have more details by next Friday. Simon lives in England, and he's one of the world's most famous extraterrestrial contacts. With that, I'd like to bring on my first guest, Lori Spanga. Lori is an amazing psychic. I consider her one of the best psychics in the United States. And she's also a fantastic animal communicator as well. And Lori, how are you doing today?
Hi, Ted. Thank you so much for having me here today. I'm so grateful, and I'm really looking forward to our interview, to our time together.
Oh, wonderful. 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 Well, a little bit about your background for people who want to find out more information. Your website is www.lorispanga.com. That's LoriSpanga.com. She's a best-selling author, intuitive, visionary, lightworker, and starseed who's transformed the lives of thousands of people and animals via her channeled ascension guidance program, intuition, energy healing, and animal communication. You also provides wonderful ascension training, sacred energy healing transmissions, and DNA activations for humans and animals. I know that when I talked to you in Los Angeles, I interviewed Lori at the Conscious Life Expo on February 9th, 2018. You brought in some of my pets, and it was just amazing talking to you about them and getting their messages. How did you ever become interested in becoming an animal psychic, Lori?
Actually, I never thought I would be that. I didn't think I could do it. I remember being young and meeting other people who were animal communicators, and I thought, I wish I could do that, mm-hmm. but I never thought I could. The thing was, is that through my love for animals and my sincere desire to be of service, like I really wanted to change the world for the better for animals. When I was a little girl, I really, really wanted to help them on a global basis. So I think the animals enlisted me. That's really what happened, was they started to sense that, and I would start to hear them, and they would say things like, if you want to help, listen to me and I will teach you. And that's what I did.
Wow, that's amazing. That is truly amazing. Well, I wanted to give out some sites for people. Of course, your books are on Amazon, and I just want to list them briefly. To go over all the books would take probably 5 or 6 hours, but we've only got so much time today, so we'll keep it brief. You have one book called Learn Animal Communication and Telepathy, Communicate with Your Pets and Any Animal. Another book's called Animals in the Afterlife, Surviving a Pet Loss and Turning Grief into a Gift. Another book I'd love to talk to you about is Stop Feeding Me Junk, The Benefits of a Species-Appropriate Food Diet and Superfoods for Pets and Their People, too. Another wonderful book called Manifestation Made Easy, Create the Life of Your Dreams Using the Power of Conscious Intention and Deliberate Creation. Another book called How Psychic Are You? Playbook and Journal, 7 Simple Steps to Unlocking Your Psychic Potential and the Keys to Accessing Your Intuitive Gifts. And also,
there's a lot of them.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. I tell you, I'm just doing this. I'm doing the short version, the 25 words or less version. Learn Animal Communication Telepathy Workbook, Communicate with Your Pets in Any Animal Workbook, and The Secret Energy of Money and the Spiritual Laws of Wealth, Abundance, and Prosperity, How to Live a Rich and Abundant Life. Wow, those are amazing books you've written. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
I really love it. I just feel like, you know what, Ted? I love, love, love to take information from the non-physical realm and translate it for humans in the physical realm, and also for animals, of course. But it's really, I feel like we have so much to learn as a planetary species, like human species. from the non-physical realm, because we've been so based only in physicality, and we're just not tuning into that. The unlimited eternal aspect of what is non-physical that's available to us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I learned something recently. I stopped feeding my dear cat Fluffy wet cat food, and the wet cat food was full of GMO yes. salmon, farm-raised salmon, and who knows what else, because I don't think the manufacturers were completely honest with their labeling. And
yes.
It was cheap food, and I thought he'd like it, but what would happen, Lori, is that he'd eat a little bit, and he'd leave the rest. And then he'd get sick. He'd throw up. He'd have diarrhea. Mm-hmm. He just wasn't mm-hmm. feeling very well. So finally, about 2 weeks ago, I stopped feeding him the wet food and switched to like a natural food diet with non-GMO grain diet, pet food. And he loves it, mm-hmm. and he's not sick mm-hmm. anymore. And I think a lot of people don't even realize, because mandatory GMO or non-GMO labeling is not available in the United States, and it should be, because people need to, it'd be great for people to know if in my listening audience out there in the world, if you've got a pet and you've been feeding them and they're getting sick, switch to something organic if possible. Either give them some of your own organic food or buy organic pet food, and I think you'll see a big difference in the way they act.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, I'm a huge proponent of raw pet food.
Oh,
I think I actually, if the way I see it is, if you want to spend the money on the vet, you can do that. And mm-hmm. you probably won't have to spend that money till the end of your pet's life, the last few years.
Right.
Or you can spend it a little over time and spend it on raw, ideally organic pet food that you get either from a freezer or it's dehydrated, so mm-hmm. then it's on a shelf, mm-hmm. but it has a shorter lifespan. It's live food. In other words, it's real food. It's not processed. It's not in a can. It's not in a bag. Cats and dogs especially are bred from wild animals in the wolves,
right.
you know, wolves and wild cats, and they eat other raw meat from animals. So to me, that's, if we're going to have pets, that's what we need to feed them. And the money that we spend on the food will be saved over the years anyway, because you don't have to go to the vet. Like, my dog is 11 years old. In the 11 years I've had her, mm-hmm. she has not needed a vet at all.
Wow.
She hasn't been to the vet. She doesn't go to the vet. She doesn't need it. And she has a light. People on the beach, we live in Florida right now, people actually think she's a puppy.
Oh, really? How fun.
She plays and runs with all the other puppies.
How fun. Well, my cat, yeah. Fluffy, has asked me numerous times to go out and try to go mice hunting with him, but I'm usually too busy to go. the times I've tried, but I never do any. He's the one that finds them. Is it appropriate to put out sauces for them if they catch it, like a cat catches a mice or something? Do you think they'd like that? Or
what do you mean, sauces?
You know, like teriyaki sauce or barbecue sauce if they find
right. Are you joking? I'm
yes.
very gullible. I think that is my star seed nature. I'm very gullible. I don't always know. Is he serious? Is he joking?
Well,
okay, you were joking. I got it.
Well, you never know. I mean, the animals may like. Actually, you could.
They like what we like. They do.
Yep.
They like
yeah.
real food. Mm-hmm. Do you want to know? This is part of how I learned this, Ted. This is like mm-hmm. one of the most heartbreaking things of my life, is that mm-hmm. when my dog, my most beloved dog, mm-hmm. and my first animal companion crossed over, her name was Kenya. She mm-hmm. is such an amazing teacher for me and healer.
Mm-hmm.
And after I connected her with her in the afterlife, that was part of how I started getting good at it, you know, because mm-hmm. I wanted to connect with her. She said to me, "Mommy, I never, ever, my whole life enjoyed the food. Imagine living my whole life not liking the food you gave me."
Oh, wow.
"Please tell other humans. We wow. are not satisfied by the food."
Hmm.
It was heartbreaking.
Wow.
But after that, I really learned. It's like, can you imagine eating food from a can your whole life? Can you wow. imagine just eating food dried kibble that is basically looks like hay, that the body processes it as a carbohydrate?
Sure. Wow.
I can tell you the reason Fluffy's doing better since you switched from a can mm-hmm. to dried food
mm-hmm.
is because the body's getting a kind of nutrient that it never got before, because oh. something different. So if one day you're eating, you know, greens, and the next day you're eating some other fruits, now you're getting another kind of supplement added to your existing diet. So that's adding nourishment. But nonetheless, it's not the highest and best nourishment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The highest and best nourishment is the thing that's going to be closest to life, and that is raw food.
Okay.
It's supplements.
Okay.
I'm a big advocate of supplements, too. I can go off on a tangent on this, but I don't know if that's where you want to go with the conversation. So.
Well, just one thing I've always been curious about. So if Fluffy brings in a fresh mouse to eat, and he's sitting at the dinner table, of course, with this mouse, should I put out barbecue sauce or teriyaki sauce, or is it better just
to
have
it? You really are serious. Just let him have the mouse if he wants it.
All right. Okay.
It's not so bad. It's really not so bad.
Okay.
You got it.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Once I rescued a bird, a sparrow that he'd gotten.
Oh, yeah.
And I let it loose. And the sparrow was, the sparrow kind of fell on the floor, and he played dead, and then suddenly he woke up and just flew out. So.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very sad because we love all the animals. It's not
right.
Like I'm partial. It's just that, to the best of my knowledge,
mm-hmm.
animals, they will shift out of, because first we humans
mm-hmm.
are the ones shifting out of our reptilian programs, which tells us to eat animals, by the way. I know
okay.
to this.
Sure.
So it's only reptilian programming in the human mm-hmm. to the extent that we're reptilian.
Mm-hmm.
We
mm-hmm.
eat animals. But mm-hmm. as we shift out of that, as we awaken our dormant abilities, as we activate the light codes within us, as we activate our dormant DNA, as we align with our star family brethren who are more benevolent star mm-hmm. races, like generally more benevolent aspects, they are not animal eaters, the bulk of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we wean ourselves in one way, shape, or form. You know, first we start going, you know, no more meat. Then we tend to go vegetarian. Then we tend to go vegan. There might be steps in between, pescatarian, whatever. And then eventually, I do believe that a huge portion of our future will be breatharian, sun gazers, and many are shifting into that now. But this is the process. So as we do it, so will our animal companions
mm-hmm.
in a way that's harmonious for them. But we're the ones who are doing it first.
Mm.
And anyway, as far as I know right now, animals still eat, other, you know, dogs and cats still eat other animals. And
mm-hmm.
that's the way it's going to be until we all shift globally, mm-hmm. you know, collectively.
Mm-hmm. One thing I've been told by another psychic here last week that as the planet is shifting into the higher and higher vibrations, people who eat meat will have a difficult time because that keeps you in a lower vibration. And
yeah.
I wanted to run that by you. That was an interesting comment. I'm mostly a vegetarian now. I don't sometimes eat meat, not usually, but I wanted
yeah.
your thoughts on that. Yeah.
I would love to share. Do you know, I have been in conversation, dialogue with so many cows. I'm going to say cows for first. I've asked every kind of animal how they feel about being eaten.
Oh my goodness.
The only ones that never had an issue with it, they sort of like, I know they couldn't do this, but I'm giving you the concept. It was almost like they scratched their head, like fish can't scratch their head, but they kind of had that kind of like confused, dazed and confused response. Like, well, we eat each other. Like, what's the big deal?
Uh-huh.
They were the only ones that did not have a kind of response like it's not okay. But cows have said many times, look, we will tolerate it, but just give us a good life. Let us graze. Let us live benevolently. Don't force breeding on us and don't take our babies from us. But this is the interesting thing. The cows are very furious about what we do to their calves, right? To their children,
oh,
their offspring.
Oh my goodness, I bet they do.
Furious. And I
wow.
recently asked, I mean, over the years, you know,
mm-hmm.
I've had cows line up to demonstrate their rage, not at me, but to help me translate it. Just like gazillions of cows, like fuming, just raging, kicking their hoofs into the ground, like wanting to charge like bulls, saying this is not okay with us that our offspring are taught this, treated this way.
Mm-hmm.
So I recently, after many years, asked again, like, what is going to happen to help humans stop eating animals, that this cannot continue in
right.
the way that we've
right.
been treating them? And what the cows told me,
mm-hmm.
this is not common information. You've never heard this anywhere,
mm-hmm.
I don't think,
mm-hmm.
is that they're carrying a dormant virus, that they've taken this on as a self-sabotage pattern, that if humans do not consciously make a choice to stop eating cows, that they will let this virus, they will allow it to kill millions.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. But it's not absolute. They're right. saying it's not absolute. We right. want animal communicators to become conscious mm-hmm. to help them. It's dormant and it does not have to activate. It's not an absolute outcome.
I see.
It's that they're using it to help humans to make a choice not to eat them anymore.
Wow. Wow.
And to wean off them. And that if we make that choice as a mm-hmm. collective, mm-hmm. it does not have to become, but the cow industry, sorry, the meat industry, so to
right.
speak,
right.
is aware of this to some degree or another. And they've been conspiratory, you know, keeping it from the masses, that they're aware that there's this deadly virus in many of their cows.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And it's dormant. Course. Mm-hmm. So I only know this psychically. I have no proof, no mm-hmm. validation. Mm-hmm. I can only translate this as I understand it through animal communication and telepathy, and also through my psychic awareness, and also that it's part of what's ultimately meant to assist and support us. It doesn't have to go that way, but it's meant to assist us and support us in becoming more benevolent by not eating one another, because that's not part of our future. We're
yeah.
not meant to do in the future.
I agree totally. This reminds me of mad cow disease. Would it be like mad cow disease?
Oh yeah, it is a kind of, in a sense, a replay of that, because we
oh,
haven't
wow.
because also mm-hmm. a lot of humans have not resolved the issues. You know, as a collective species, we mm-hmm. circle around and repeat things, as I know you know, Ted,
right.
until we resolve them, until mm-hmm. we're no longer energetically out of alignment with source with them. That sometimes is referred to as a kind of karma, in a way, mm-hmm. cause and effect relationship, however you define it.
Sure.
So humans on the earth have not resolved our issues with this concept of virus.
Interesting.
So yes, viruses will continue to resurface in the collective until we're resolved. And the ultimate reason for this kind of virus serves a higher purpose.
Well, as Professor Albert Einstein has told me many times, that God doesn't play with dice, and the universe is deterministic. In other words, things happen for a reason. And,
yes.
And whenever something like that happens, I think it's always good to ask, what's the spiritual reason behind this happening?
Yes.
And wow, that's amazing. That's amazing.
I also want to just say on air, I love mm-hmm. your book. I know I said this to you personally, but I just want to say it on air. I think people should read your book. I think it's so good. I circulated it to my friends and told them I want to keep circulating it, like that, like it's not for, like I've only given it to them in the presence of other people. Like, you're going to get it next, because I want people to read your book. I think it's so good. I think there's so much fabulous information in there about what life would have been and could still be mm-hmm. if certain, like, you know, certain things didn't happen, but we still have that potential for us to experience, like, that, you know, that gloriousness. Even though it didn't happen yet, you know, if, like, some of the presidents weren't, for example, JFK wasn't murdered. You talked a lot about what life would have been if he wasn't murdered, and that those potentials still exist in our future for us to have and to experience. I just loved it. I think it's a great book.
Well, thank you so much for saying that. I got in contact with the Great Spirit started in late 2014, as February 2015 was the watershed mark when Professor Albert Einstein first came to me, and then I had a whole bunch of spirits come in, and they all wanted me to write this book. But you know how life is in this third dimension, Laura.
Mm-hmm.
You get busy, you know. You know, you got to pay your phone bill and this and that, so you get busy. But finally, I got a strong message last year to finish it by what happened. I think I finished it in end of December of 2016, and it finally got published in August of last year. And so it took me some years, for those interested, it's called Messages from the Masters. Great messages from President Kennedy, Albert Einstein, Nostradamus, the Galactic Alliance, and a bunch of wonderful spirits on the other side. And if you'd like a copy, just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, and I'd be happy to send you an autographed book. Or you can get it on Amazon, too. Amazon has it in stock. But I appreciate you
saying
that.
And it's an easy read. I mean, I'm not even a big reader anymore. Mm-hmm. I teach this in my psychic development, Ted, mm-hmm. my psychic development class. We can put our hands on a book and absorb all the information in the book into our consciousness, right? Mm-hmm. And also because every book, the information in a book is stored in the Akash.
Ah.
So if you don't have time to read, but it's something you want to just get the information, you don't have to read a book. There's lots of fabulous ways to extract the information. But I read your book for the joy, for the pleasure, for the enjoyment. And it's so easy. So it's totally worth it.
Well, thank you. Well, thank you, Lori. That's very sweet of you to say that. I appreciate that, you saying that so much.
I wouldn't say it if it wasn't true.
Well,
I don't lie, cheat, or steal. I've been living by that credo for many, many years.
Wonderful. Well, I hope you can make it to my Galactic Wisdom Conference next year. I'd love to have you up.
It's on my schedule.
Okay.
Intending to be there.
Wonderful.
I am intending to be there, yes. And I love Oregon. It's like one of my favorite states. In fact, I think I have a Venus line running through there.
Really?
My Venus line, yeah. Which is like a really nice line to hang out. All my astrologer friends, even my Vedic and Western, they're all like, you need to live in Oregon.
I'm in Washington, but it's the same difference. I mean, Oregon's
the same.
That's okay. Yes. That's all right.
Washington, I apologize, but it goes right through there too.
Yeah, it goes right
through there. It's a vertical line.
when you come out, there's a series of vortexes out here. There's one in Olympia, another one in Bellingham, a third in Port Townsend, and a fourth one right around Friday Harbor in the San Juan Islands. And there's a vortex not far from the conference site, and I'll show you where it is. The Indians, Native Americans, used the vortex for thousands of years. If they were having a bum day, they would go there, and their energies would go really high. And they also used it to do astral travel in the fifth dimension to Vancouver Island, which is about 150 miles away, to visit their relatives. And it's an amazing place. There's no historical marker there. Elders told me about it locally here a couple of years ago. I would someday like to get it recognized as such, because I think it could really help people. There's energy differences when you go from one physical location to another. Some places, some cities will bring you down because of past events. Others will bring you way up. But I'm very sensitive to that. And there is a vortex in Olympia. There's two that I know of. And they're not marked, but I know where they are. So they're always a lot of fun to go to.
That's awesome. I love that. I think that is so exciting too, because the vortexes and the energy centers, like I have an awareness as a star seed that I was able to travel through, like even, you know, how Earth has been quarantined and we've had a matrix around up until, you know, 2012. And most humans aren't really aware they've been trapped. We've been trapped inside of this matrix. And we didn't even have a real ascension. We weren't able to really ever fully ascend. But now, because of grid workers and light workers, you know, we've cleared that and we're not in this quarantine. But we still have to learn how to ascend. And vortex energy is so wonderful for that. Plus, this is what I was going to say. I have an awareness as a starseed that I've been able to travel in spite of that quarantine through certain vortexes and through certain gates. Like I know I've traveled through an Aldebaran stargate. Are you familiar with that one at all?
No, I'm not.
I don't know enough about it. Like I have to ask more, but I just know that I've been able to travel through that. And many starseeds actually have been able to use different portals, gates, and vortexes to travel interdimensionally, even in spite of that quarantine we had prior, you know, to 2012 or up until 2012. So it's fascinating. That subject area is something I really want to learn more about and explore more of, because I haven't played enough with it. Like I've done a lot of, I lived in Maui for 2 years, which of course you have, you know, that major Haleakala, you know, create, that's a whole vortex energy there. And
sure.
I know Shasta, you know, all the major ones, but there are more. And so I know what you're saying is true, that there's vortex energies up there. And that's so exciting to learn more about.
There is a time vortex in Friday Harbor that I've been told about. And they say it's on some friend's property. And they say that when you look at it, it starts shifting. And you can lose time if you walk through it. I haven't been back there in years, but it is there, and they're very careful that they don't drive their car through it, or walk through it accidentally. Because they want to,
fascinating.
You know, they kind of want to stay in this dimension for now anyway, but they don't know where it goes, but they can tell because birds go through it, small animals, and they don't come back. They kind of disappear in this other dimension. And that would be worth a whole show on, actually, sometime.
Yes. Do you want to know something else, too, about this kind of going somewhere and disappearing? It's fascinating. I have also no evidence of what I'm about to say. But psychically, I know it, that many of the world's population, like a lot of 3D people, like scientists and stuff, they have this great fear that we're going to overpopulate. But that what I have psychically is that through a lot of our spirit, you know, our own healing, as we call back our soul fragments, we've actually been absorbing sort of like zombie-like versions of ourself. And so we're actually reducing the population, but there's no way to know that. You know, it's like, how do you know? How do we know right now that the population is, what, 8 billion or whatever it is? You know, like we don't know. And we're actually reducing the population by absorbing fragmented aspects of ourselves back home into ourselves as we do soul reunification.
Oh, my goodness.
That's and that amazing. We're reducing the population. Now, I would never know that, but I got that psychically. That's part of how we're healing this concept of overpopulation or population overgrowth. Isn't that fascinating?
That's incredible. Yeah, that's really incredible. Well, I
and
know.
I say I never said that out loud anywhere else, only in my classes. So you heard it here first.
Yeah, well, great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah,
in 1992, I was on a flight from Seattle to Tokyo, and I was watching this movie, and I fell asleep. And then when I fell asleep, I time-traveled into the future, into the movie, and saw scenes toward the end of the movie. Then I woke up on the plane, and then I saw those scenes, so I time-traveled into the future. I've done that a couple times. I don't know whether it was the brandy that did it, or but it did happen.
But even if it was the brandy, your consciousness was conscious enough to know that that's what was happening.
Oh yeah, yeah, I could.
That's very cool.
Yeah, I could see clearly into the future, and I wanted to tell you, Laurie, we're getting some animal questions in, and I wanted to. I hope you don't mind if I ask one.
I love it. That's okay.
Okay. If you could ask Fluffy, if he wants to say any words today. To you and my audience.
All right. Well, I think this might seem a little similar to what people already know and what you know, but nonetheless, your cat Fluffy loves you so much. You love Fluffy so much. There's no question. It's a sacred contract between you two. And part of his role is to help you maintain the sweet innocence of who you are, because you delve into so many like psychic arenas. And he never wants you to lose your sweet innocence, your innocence like a child, your playful innocence. That's part of his sacred contract with you, because you've explored so many of these, like, you know, esoteric truths that are not, they require you to not be innocent in a way, and at the same time be innocent. It's like you have both. And he's just reminding you of that, to never, because you're one of those gifted people, he's saying, that is not cynical, does not get cynical about this. And even though there's so many conspiracy buffs and truthers who can get quite cynical, but you don't. And that's what he loves about you so much. And it's part of what he helps you to remember, that playful exuberance and the innocence within you, like an innocent child. This is his role in your life, but it's also what he wanted too, as a unique individual being, that he would also be known as his own kind of, because, you know, cats travel interdimensionally and he has that ability, and he knows he does, and he helps you on this journey in this way, but he also retains his own innocence like a child, playful innocence like a child. And he says together that you will never forget this, that you will always do it together in that way.
Oh, well, thank you. What a beautiful message. Actually, I was thinking about that today on my way up. The traffic around Seattle is sometimes pretty packed, and but I realize that that there's always a positive side about everything, and as long as I maintain, you always have to have dreams in life, I think, Laurie, and it always pays to have a positive attitude, even when you're having a tough day. It's always good to maintain positive, and I appreciate your those messages so much. Thank you.
I want to tell you something else too. Since we mentioned the food part, I definitely get oils. Like he's like, tell him more oils. So what that means is, like, you know, healthy fat, healthy oil.
Okay.
What is healthy oil for animals? Like hemp oil is healthy for them. You know, fish oil is healthy if you make sure it's clean fish oil. In
sure.
other words, you know.
Sure.
Yeah, you know what that means.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Also,
other kinds of healthy oils, ghee, which does come from cows. But, I mean, what I've gotten from cows is they don't mind helping you with their milk and their butter. Like,
right.
don't kill them. Don't treat them badly.
Right.
So ghee, you can use ghee. You can also use colostrum,
mm-hmm.
which
mm-hmm.
comes from cows. That's a healthy fat.
Mm-hmm.
Give Fluffy some healthy fat.
Okay.
In addition. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I hope that's – and even there's other healthy oils too, but those are the ones that are lighting up for his body.
Right, right. Well, just last week, he just got his driver's license, and he's going to take me out this weekend. And, I'll set him up at a table with a bib around his neck, and I'll get him something nice and organic.
Okay, see, now I know you are kidding. So I can laugh with you.
Actually, there's some really good places up in Vancouver, Canada. There's entire supermarkets there which are organic, non-GMO supermarkets. And you walk in, Lori, and everything is good to eat. And the restaurants, too. So mm-hmm. if I can get him now that he's got his driver's license, I can work on getting his passport. I'll get him up there, and he could, we could drive up and have a meal up there in a nice restaurant.
That is awesome. I wish we had more of those. I mean, it's that is the next generation of supermarkets, you know?
It is.
That's not too far away for us. But
It is. It absolutely.
The sooner the better.
Absolutely. Absolutely,
yeah.
Lori. Absolutely. Well, I have another animal question. This is from Michiko in Tokyo. She had a beautiful little dog named Lana for many years, a black poodle. And she asked how Lana felt when she was passing and any messages from Lana to Michiko now.
Okay.
Thank you.
I have a ton of stuff on Lana.
Okay.
And I think I'm just trying to navigate what is most important to bring through first, or
okay.
at least most significant, because, okay, I have got the direct response to the question. So it's almost like what she's saying is that her consciousness, her frequency went into an energetic vibration. I think that Michiko was either playing music or doing some kind of energy work through I hear music. That she heard music and sounds, beautiful sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And the sound frequency, vibrational frequency, it might have been even like hertz, like megahertz, or she was working with frequencies of tuning forks. It might have been tuning forks. But nonetheless, I think that's what it is because I was shown tuning forks. But the tuning she was doing or some kind of tuning took
Lana
into such a different frequency, like an altered state, that there was no real pain, that helped her to shift out of the body, and that her consciousness was so aware that she was crossing, and at the same time there was no physical pain because she was able to energetically like vibe out of her body, because Michiko is a very conscious woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so this shifting for her, this consciousness shifting was so benevolent that she was able to really transcend her body in a way, even though I think there was some sickness in the physical body, dishealth for quite a while before. But
right.
you ask at the moment of the transition, at the transition time, there was no discomfort. There was no pain. It was a relief. And it was an energetic vibrational attuning for her that was so benevolent.
Mm.
There was no pain or suffering in the shifting. There was a physical dis-ease leading up to the shift, but when she left the body. And I think that this was part of Michiko's work, that Michiko was doing this on some level, playing music or playing harmonics or playing some hertz, you know, 520 megahertz, you know, the hertz, something like that was going on. I don't know if you know that, but that's what I'm understanding.
Yeah, what I'm getting, it was the 528 hertz tuning fork.
Oh, yeah.
And I just happened to have one with me. That's what I was looking in my bag. I usually carry it around with me. And I always carry a crystal from Mount Shasta, from Lemuria, with me. I hope I've got the crystal. And what I do is I hit the crystal with the tuning fork, and it spreads love everywhere. And I'm going to do that now, actually. I'll see if it
But works. Was Michiko doing that while her dog was...
I think so. I think so. Yeah,
she's fascinating.
She's not online now, but that's kind of like the email, the message that I got.
But actually, her dog is giving me something even slightly more significant for her, if I could share it.
Sure, yeah.
And that is for her to understand that she is a messenger. I know that she works with water. I know who she is. So I know she works with water and Dr. Emoto. So, but that's not what this is. It's linked to that. Mm-hmm. But that Michiko is part of the sacred feminine, the messengers for divine feminine. Mm-hmm. And a harbinger is the word, but like a bringer and a holder of the divine feminine, which is linked in, of course, the water is the feminine, is the ultimate feminine energy of Earth. Mother Earth is the ultimate feminine goddess, but the feminine energy of water, water holds all the feminine energy as well. And that this is not only Michiko's mission and purpose, but part of her lineage and her ancestry, which does link back to Hawaii and is linked to the feminine goddesses known who are in the lands of Hawaii and in the waters surrounding Hawaii. And they're also linked into ancient Lemuria, of course, Lemurian timeline. Mm-hmm. And that Michiko is also linked into that. And this is known by her animal companions as well, of course, because her animal companions have been healers and guardians of Michiko herself. So it's not just this one animal companion who's her primary. Mm-hmm. There are other animal companions as well. And they're all linked into her as guardians of her role for the divine feminine and for the waters. Oh. And this is what's coming through there.
Oh, that's so beautiful. I just happen to have, I couldn't find my Lemurian crystal, but I have two 528 tuning forks. So I'm going to hit it once. We'll get a double whammy. This is 528 hertz is actually the frequency of love for this planet. So when you hit it, it spreads love everywhere. So I'm going to do that now quickly. Isn't that nice? That's so uplifting.
Yes.
I love that frequency.
I feel it through my whole body. I can feel myself get happier. I feel like even a little bit of sadness shifted out of my own field, you know, from just that I might have had from this week, you know. That's so beautiful.
Oh, good. Good. I'm glad. Yes. I'm glad. I carry that around with me. I also carry around a bottle of Peruvian flower water that you can buy in the markets in Cusco. And it's called Fleur de Lis. It's water of flowers, and it costs about, I think, 5 solis, about $1.66, a small bottle. Mm. But it's recommended by most, I feel like I'm doing an ad now, but it's recommended by most shamans in Cusco, Peru. Mm. So I use that if it's nice to splash some on your face, and I always do it sometimes during the day. It's always always really nice. Well, Mary, you are such a breath of fresh air. There's all this beautiful white light that's come into the studio now since you've been talking. And I think all of I think there's a bunch of not only animals, beautiful animal spirits here, but angels too, supporting you and helping you on your journey.
Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. We've got about 12 minutes left, and I wanted to tell you that because I'd love to have are there any messages that you're getting from the other side, from the animals, maybe on how we can make this world a better place, or from your spirit guides today?
Oh, I would love to tell you one of the biggest messages that animals give over and over and over again is the words, if you're not happy, you're not helping. And what they mean when they say that is, please don't feel bad for us. Because if you feel bad for us, you're actually adding to the energy of bad, i.e., in other words, like, all that bad feeling. If you perpetuate and share stories about abuse of us, you're actually making it worse. They say that animal lovers, they don't say this with malice or with any judgment. They just simply state it as fact, right? It's not a resentment. It's just, let's divest ourselves from our judgment of what I'm about to say or our right and wrong of it. They say that animal lovers are sometimes the worst animal abusers.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yes, because they said that animal lovers, well-meaning animal lovers, and they don't, again, there's no harm, but they're making their point. Well-meaning animal lovers who constantly share painful stories about animal abuse or pictures of cruelty to animals or constantly perpetuate the stories associated with animal abuse, animal suffering, animal pain, are actually adding to the density and repeating and the co-creation of pain to animals.
Really?
And they're actually doing the very, yes.
Wow.
The very thing that causes and contributes to the perpetuation of abuse of animals. Mm-hmm. Because what they're doing is they're giving their energy to it. They're giving their attention to it. They're circulating those images in the field of consciousness. Mm-hmm. And then it's returning back to them and others in greater force because it comes, they circulate out the pain and the judgment, the wrongness of it. Then other people see it who receive that pain and judgment. And then they add their own because they respond and react to it.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel that pain and that suffering. And then many times they share it and it amplifies and intensifies. Wow. And so they say animal lovers, well-meaning animal lovers who do that kind of thing are actually some of the worst abusers of animals on the planet.
Wow. Wow.
And they don't even know it. And they say, please stop this. Please end investing your time and energy in the suffering of animals and start to understand how energy works at the root core, that if you could in any way, shape, or form for 2 minutes a day or a minute a day, a few times a day, see animals in your mind or perceive them, however, even if you don't see them with your mind, even if you're not clairvoyant, just whatever your envision is, what there's no way, even with your thoughts, and feel happy that animals are treated better with more consciousness, with more compassion, with more love, with more dignity, see, sense, and feel that any species, all species, the animal collective, the animal kingdom, if you do that for a minute or two, a few times a day, once, twice, a few, you will make monumental change for the improvement of animals on Earth. Stop. Wow. That's what they say over and over. Tell them to stop perpetuating all of these images. Don't donate, they say, don't donate to animal organizations who tell you and show you the pain and suffering.
Oh, yeah.
Donate to animal organizations who show you the greatness that they are doing with the animals. Not any pain or suffering, but rather, oh, look at this animal. We rehomed him. He's so happy. Look at what we did for this animal. He's just, he's doing so well. Like, donate to conscious animal organizations that are celebrating success rather than demonstrating misery.
You know, like the old saying goes, you can look at a you can look at a glass of water either as half full or half empty.
Yes.
So look at it in a positive way as being half full. That's
yes.
that's wonderful advice.
Yes.
Wow. That's
and
wonderful
to give
advice.
And to give all of your life force that you want to give to serve and support animals, give it in the joyful celebration. At celebrating what you want and seeing and envisioning and providing glad expectation, gladly expecting that, optimistically expecting that great things will come of that.
Beautiful.
And by the way, I feel like the kingdom, animal kingdom coming in, by the way, they're saying that applies to all of your existence. If you would use that and apply that to all of your existence, you will find how greatly your existence is improved for all beings on planet Earth as well. Same principles apply.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. Well, what a wonderful, profound thought. We've got about, we have about 6-7 minutes left. And I wanted to ask you about your book, Secret Energy of Money and the Spiritual Laws of Wealth, Abundance, and Prosperity, How to Live in a Rich and Abundant Life. If just a few words about that. I'm sure my listeners would enjoy listening to that, what you might want to say about
that. Well, let me say first that I have a whole course on that, a whole course, and it's actually free in my sacred membership. So I have a sacred membership on my website. It's under the name membership on the website, and you can get like over 100 hours of content, real content on every area imaginable.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
And the full course of the Secret Energy of Money is in there. But let me just say this. The root cause the root cause of the imbalance of abundance and prosperity, the root cause is linked to our own sense of worthiness and deservability. So as we heal and resolve that within us as individuals, personally looking, really going deep dive within us to heal and resolve those aspects of us that are out of alignment with our own worth, mm-hmm. and our own deservability, mm-hmm. which is also directly linked to our willingness to give and receive, mm-hmm. to give joyfully without mm-hmm. attachment, and to receive joyfully without mm-hmm. expectation, mm-hmm. beyond just gladly expecting that good things will come. Mm-hmm. Which is also linked into our balance between feminine and masculine. Mm-hmm. These are all connected. Mm-hmm. As we heal and resolve those issues within ourselves, and one other big piece of this is no longer trying to just take.
Right.
That all of that, as we heal and resolve that within ourselves, we come into an alignment with Source. Mm-hmm. Recognizing that Source is our provider. Mm. Our provider comes through our connection with Divine Source, with just infinite, unlimited resource. Now, and that flows through us as we heal and resolve these issues I've just been mentioning. Sure. As we give and receive joyfully, mm-hmm. we don't steal, because if we steal, we get stolen from. We right. give joyfully, and we know that it will come back to us in divine way, in a divine timing. We do right work, good works, in service and contribution to the greatest good, to the greater good of all beings, with harm to none, which includes ourselves. Mm-hmm. As we do that and live our lives that way, we will be in abundant, a great abundance and prosperity. We are the ones who have to do the inner work. So the inner work is that healing and resolving and addressing our core wounds, our worthiness, our self-love, our mm-hmm. self-care, our mm-hmm. self-deservability. Mm-hmm. That's where, as we do so, and as we take appropriate action and et cetera, that's where the abundance is. That's where the prosperity is. That's where we become wealthy beyond our imagination. I will say this other thing just on a more tangible level. The old monetary system mm-hmm. is going away, right? And we, yeah. there's a new monetary system birthing, which we know that's like we're starting to see the very beginnings of that. Bitcoin and other blockchain currencies. It's just sources assure me it's just the teeniest sample uh-huh. of what's ahead. Sure. And we will see this blossom. And I know you know
wow.
this.
Wow. Yeah.
Hugely blossom mm-hmm. as we do this inner work. As mm-hmm. we do this inner work, that will expand exponentially.
I couldn't agree with you more, Laurie. I know that the Bitcoin and the other cryptocurrencies went way up a couple of months ago, and then they went down. But I look to see them going further, making yeah. higher highs in the future.
So, can I say a little? I know we're sure. almost out of time
That's
here,
okay.
but the reason they went down, if you look at us, what's going on right now, mm-hmm. just astrologically, Saturn is in the house of Capricorn. Mm-hmm. Even if you say Saturn in Sag, if you're Vedic, the point is what Saturn is doing is it's looking at our systems, and especially Western astrology, if you think Capricorn is money,
right?
Capricorn is earth, Capricorn is systems and structures. Saturn mm-hmm. is sort of can be referred to as Lord of Karma, but Saturn is also very slow, very patient, very mm-hmm. methodical, do it right. Mm-hmm. So it's basically saying, let's get this right. Mm-hmm. If it's not good enough, I don't want you to fail out the gate. So I'm just going to collapse it temporarily so you can revisit it. That's the Sag. Okay. If you're a Vedic astrologer, Sag wants you to refigure it out. Think about it. Think about what you're doing. Make sure you get it right. Mm-hmm. But it is going to, there's no question. Cryptocurrencies yeah. are here. Yeah. And from a conspiratorial point of view, you know, all the old structures, systems, banks, they're trying to control it so that it can't come out because yeah. it's basically going to omit them. I know you
yeah.
know that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Laurie, thank you so much for coming on today, my friend. I loved having you on, and I can't wait to see you next year at my conference.
Thank you so much for having me. And just if I could just say to have people head over to lauriespagna.com. Tons of great free gifts there. Wonderful, juicy stuff for them.
Great. Thank you so much, Laurie. Please stay tuned, my friends, for my next hour.